Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. Let's stand. If you're in the foyer, come on in. Let's do some singing. This one's an oldie but a goodie. It's kind of fun. One, two, three, four. Now, it works best if we do this. Can we do some of that?
I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of the precious blood atoning. And I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of the cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
Kids to come over. So for a month we've been working on this song called Ain't No Rock. It has movements, it's super fun. Well, I'll give the kids a second to come up. Even if you're adults. Come on, don't leave Heather alone. Come on, come up. Yeah, come on. Okay, I guess this is all we got for kids today. Parents, I know it's Father's Day. Make your kids come up here.
Bad parenting advice of the day. Force your children.
Hey, you're making me look bad. Okay, I'll just teach you guys. Gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no bird. Ain't no bird gonna flap His feathers. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no bird gonna flap His feathers. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no tree, ain't no tree gonna wave its branches. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Ain't no tree gonna wave its branches. When I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise! Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name. Praise His holy name. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify His holy name.
Well, good morning, and please have a seat. Happy Father's Day, everyone. You made it, you made it, you made it. And even if the kids don't come forward, it is still a great, great day. So, my name's Andrew, if we haven't met yet, and just thrilled to have you here today. In the seat pockets in front of you are what we call connection cards. It is one way to stay in touch. So if you have a prayer request, if you have something that you want us to know about, just make sure to jot that down, and then there's some baskets kind of all around the room. Put them in one of those giving baskets, and we promise we'll get that message and be able to do that. I hear a whole bunch of conversation backstage. Nice to hear the conversations backstage. Daryl, would you go sort that out? Thank you so much. Isn't it fun having Daryl on the team? All right. Well, we want to pray for our kids, and we are so grateful for them, and we're so grateful for Heather. Heather's just doing a good job with getting our giving lots of energy to our kids program. Now, there's some cool stuff happening back there. Heather, would you give us a little snapshot of that? And are you still?
A little bit.
I think it's on. We just need to.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
You didn't realize you'd have like calisthenics.
No, it's no pressure.
No pressure.
You know when you come up here,
yeah,
and like okay, now I gotta.
Hey, you got your.
I gotta remember myself.
Y'all got your cardio in for the day.
Yes.
Because see, if it's a Father's Day meal, there's gonna be carbs. Am I telling the truth or what? Okay, so you got your cardio in.
Yes.
So we're good to go.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So we have been learning about the Holy Spirit, just as you guys have in church. And it's really fun just to see the different experiments, different things that we've been doing, and how the kids are connecting. So we're just continuing to do that.
Yeah.
But we would just like to, let's just bow our heads and pray for our kids. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for children. We just know that, just like it says in Psalms 127, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from Him. And just as, Father, you are our Father, and that we will be your sons and daughters, as it says in 2 Corinthians, we just pray for the fathers today, and just to bless them, Lord, with rest, and give them peace, and help them to feel surrounded and loved by our families, and because that's just something that we want to focus on, Father. And we just thank you for the ability to celebrate, and that we can take time, and it's okay to have a rest day, and we enjoy the food that we eat. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I especially appreciated that prayer. That's a good one. Who are Father's Day? You are looking for your Father's Day afternoon nap. Oh, yeah. It's a holy thing. All right. Well, this is the time where, so as our kids are heading back, and I know they got a lot of fun planned, take a few moments and greet a few people around you. We'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen for those who are, people are joining us from various places like me. Isn't that interesting? How did I do that? Wow. Okay. Anyways, we'll put a few more of those up. Anyways, just take a few minutes. Let somebody know that you're glad to see him, and we're going to jump back into singing in a few moments. Is Father's Day, and while it is good and right and appropriate to celebrate our earthly fathers, and I'm already so grateful for the text I've received from my girls this morning, I hope you're thanking your earthly fathers, but it's also a day to remember that whether your relationship with your earthly father is everything you hoped it would be or not, you and I, we have a heavenly Father who is the perfect example of fatherhood, and who longs to spend time with you, who has never withheld his affection from you, who's never been absentee, who's never forgotten your birthday. He is right there. And he provides the earthly dads with an example to look to try to aspire towards. And for every person, He provides that father figure. So we're going to sing a song about God as our Father. And it's actually, you've probably heard this one before. It's called Good, Good Father. Lord, that is who you are. I just invite you to enter into that time of worship, to still your hearts before him, to remember how good he is. And let's worship him together.
Oh, I, a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I'm a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
You're a good father.
You're good, good father.
Good morning. Please join me in prayer. God, thank you that we can be here this morning and that you are our good, good Father. God, thank you that we can be here to worship you together and to celebrate your love and know that you love us. God, I just pray that thank you for our fathers. God, thank you for those people that have been in our lives to lead us and to guide us and lead us to you. God, thank you for those father figures in our lives that have led us to you. God, we remember and celebrate them today. God, we just pray for our leaders, for local, state, and national leaders. God, we just pray that you would give them wisdom and help them to make good decisions that will be made in the best interests of all. God, we just pray for care for those on the margins of society, the refugee, the immigrant, the hungry, the persecuted, the defenseless, the poor, the unborn, and the elderly. God, your heart beats for all of them. Help us to love and serve them well too. Jesus, we lift up the people of the Ukraine today. Guard innocent lives. Stop the invaders and strengthen the people. God, we just pray first that the leaders and that you would work through them. Give them wisdom in this situation. God, we think of those in our country that are affected by the record heat and flooding, for orchardists and farmers affected by the unusually cool temperatures here. God, that you would just provide what they need. Jesus, we remember today that on June 19th, 1865, it was the ending of slavery in our nation. God, we just pray that you would end slavery in every place in the world where it still remains. God, we just lift up people who are serving in your church around the world today. For missionaries, church leaders, and evangelists, be their strength today as they spread your word to the people that they are ministering to. God, for the Covenant Church Missionary Radio Team at New Life Radio in Odessa, Ukraine, as they continue to broadcast Christian radio, God, protect them in a dangerous environment. Lord, we lift up the people of Poland today as they care for millions of refugees. Be their strength and help them as they serve. Lord, we lift up people in our own congregation who are hurting, lonely, sick, in struggling marriages, struggling against addiction, looking for work, and asking for your direction. God, you know all of those needs. And Lord, may you work in each and every situation. We pray for those today too who are feeling the absence of their father today. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Lord, we lift up Tom Lee's son Levi as he recovers from shingles. And thank you that he is recovering. Just pray for continued healing for him. God, we lift up Ev Williams today and just thank you for the healing that she has received and just pray that you continue to heal her. For Elena Vargas, that you would bring peace and healing. Lord, we pray especially for Christina Fry today as she grieves the passing of her son, Chris. Be her strength and peace today. For Tim Townsend's mother, that you would just be with her in this heart condition and strengthen her body. Give doctors wisdom as they care for her. And now we'll just take time where you can lift your own prayers silently or out loud to God. God, thank you that you hear each one of these requests and that you care and that you love us so much. God, I just pray for Andrew as he speaks this morning, that you would just give him the words that you have placed on his heart, and that our hearts would be open to hear from you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, honey. If I'm talking a little bit funny today, it's because I had, which maybe you noticed it or not, or maybe you're like, hey, he's always talks funny. But I actually had some oral surgery on Monday. I had what's called a gum graft. So, yeah. So they took a strip of gum from the top of my mouth, a donor site, and put it on the side to kind of reinforce some gums that were getting, that were receding a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Ouch. So it did hurt for a couple of days. The swelling has gone down here, but I've got this kind of bump inside my mouth still. The donor side is still kind of swollen up. So if I'm a little extra lispy today, that's why. I feel like I sound funny. So hopefully I don't sound quite as funny as I feel. But anyways, it is good to be back with you. Spent a couple days on the couch watching TV on pain meds, and being doted on by my really, really dear wife. She is amazing. Marry somebody as fine as her, and your life is going to go really, really well. But now, who here has ever spent any time living in a different city than Wenatchee? Okay, how about a larger city than Wenatchee? Oh, yeah. Okay, now, we lived in Chicago for about 3 years, so we moved there in the year 2000 so I could do graduate school there, did my MDiv at North Park Theological Seminary, and when we moved to Chicago, I had to relearn how to drive. Now, Chicago still has enough of the kind of Midwest nice that people are generally pretty decent, except behind the wheel, because they're moving like 7 million people down these roads, and if you're not assertive, you die. I think that's how that works. So we had to learn this principle, and this might help you out in Chicago, or just remind you that, you know, Wenatchee is actually great. Is that we had to learn this principle when you're driving around there, is that it was always two cars on the red light. You know, so green light, amber light, and cars are still flying through the intersection because nobody wants to wait for another light. And then as it turns red, you can, if you're coming, you know, you're waiting at a red light for your green light, you count to two. One car, two car, and then you go. Now, three would be excessive. But that's just how it is. You have to kind of learn the culture of the town, the culture of how you drive there. And that's actually the word I wanted us to focus on today. This idea of culture. Every place has a culture. Every country has a culture. Every city has a culture. Now, I grew up in Canada. That may be the other reason I talk funny. But there were some cultural adjustments we needed to make when we moved to the United States. Here's one of them. In Canada, the big game was always the hockey game. So we'd go to the arena. It's just so stereotypical. But like small town Canada, it was all about the hockey team. Now, at the hockey game, the cheerleader was the guy with his shirt off. You know, he's got something painted on his chest, and he's waving something, you know, waving his shirt around, going, fight, 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 fight. That's an idea of a Canadian cheerleader. The American ones are much better dressed. And it took me a while to kind of get used to this. Like, this is a different culture. But culture, it affects us. Culture is the thing that it's how the values of a group get reinforced. And that's why, you know, culture ends up being a really important thing. Like, you think about, like, okay, East Coast culture, it's different than West Coast culture. Big city culture is different than small town culture. Hopefully you love the culture of this small town. Or even as we think about, like, you know, what it means to be Christian in culture, we realize that it's becoming, well, that some Christian values are being increasingly less supported by culture because there are less Christians in culture. It only makes sense. We care a lot about culture. You know, culture is the environment of values that we kind of swim in, that we marinate in. And unfortunately for us, you know, in terms of the culture at large, you and I as individuals, we don't have a lot of influence over culture. We have some, and we should exercise it in every way that we reasonably can, but there's only so much we can do about the influence of surrounding culture. But there is a very important element of culture that you have a lot of influence over, and that's what I want to talk about today. Now, we're in a series called Saved to Serve, talking about how, you know, we are here for a purpose that God has put us on earth to love God and to love neighbor, that there's a purpose and a calling to your life and to our life. We are saved to serve, and in particular, as we look at Father's Day, I wanted to look at this one really key area where fathers especially, not exclusively, but especially play a really key difference in one aspect of culture, the aspect of culture that you have the most influence over, and that is the culture of your home. And so I wanted us to take a look at this passage. In this case, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. So this is Moses as he is doing this great big speech to the nation of Israel. They're forming as a nation. They have come out of slavery. So maybe it's especially appropriate that we look at this passage on Juneteenth as we remember the ending of slavery in our nation. But he's wanting to train the people of better ways to live, of life-giving, life-affirming, thriving ways to live. And it reinforces this really, really key and core value. So I want to take a look at that key core value and then, you know, how to live that value out in the culture of the home. So we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and then do a deep dive into a few verses there. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, Moses says this to the nation of Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Verse 6, "These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." So let's do a bit of a deep dive. So this really core key verse, verse 5, love, say that with me, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Or if you're really getting down to it, love the Lord your God with all your heart. The Hebrew word there is lavav. Say that with me. Lavav. 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 It sounds like what it means. Lavav. 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 And the amazing thing about the word lavav is it's not just talking about our feelings. See, it's only the Greco-Roman culture that has this crazy notion, a notion that is still present in our culture, that our thoughts and our feelings are separate from each other. We actually believe that. And yet, the Bible doesn't affirm that observation. You know, the Bible tells us that how we think and how we feel are interconnected. So, where in our culture we would say, my heart told me this, but my mind told me this, is the Hebrew perspective on that would be, no, what you have is a confused mind. Because your heart and your mind are not in alignment with each other. The levav, the heart mind, the soul of your inner life, the core, I should say, of your inner life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart mind, and with all your soul, your nefesh. Say it with me, nefesh. Nefesh. So the soul, that's your life force. Nefesh, and the word the Hebrew word for soul is very similar to the Hebrew word for neck. I mean, it's where your life comes from, the totality of your living being. And with all your strength, your me'od, say that with me, me'od. All your capacities, all your abilities. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, with all your life force, with all your soul, and with all your capacities and abilities. Love, love, love. So we need to take a look at what love is. So you could maybe, because, see, that ends up being really key in our culture, isn't it? See, we often think that love is predominantly a feeling. But love, by a biblical definition, while it includes feelings, it's actually the actions, the thoughts, and the feelings that prioritize others. Love is action, thoughts, and feelings that prioritize others. Or Paul would put it this way in 1 Corinthians 13, a really familiar passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. That biblical definition of love, that's the definition of love that God has for you. So, you know, God, as he looks at you, he is patient, he's kind, he doesn't envy, he's not proud, he doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Isn't that good? And as he calls us to love one another, love each other as I have loved you. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Not boastful. Always trusts, always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. A love that never fails. So we got to remember a biblical definition of love. Because, I mean, in our culture we hear things like love is love. Sometimes love is lust. If your intentions are more about self-gratification, that's not love. Now, of course, you know, love in a marital context can be absolutely wonderful. Two people who are mutually self-giving of one another has all these beautiful, intimate connotations. It's wonderful. But love at its core are our actions, thoughts, and yes, feelings that prioritize others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then, of course, as Jesus is saying this, he would add in another verse that's pretty familiar to you probably. Matthew 22:39, and the second is like this: love your neighbor as yourself. Now, on some level, you know, you might think, was Jesus like changing, you know, the Old Testament scripture? Not really. What he was doing is he was clarifying it. Because if we truly love God with all of our thoughts, with all of our feelings, with all of our life force, with all our abilities and our capacities, of course we're going to love the people around us. Because the people around us are made in the image and likeness of God. And so are you. You're going to love yourself because you are made in the image and likeness of God. If I told you I absolutely love cherries, which I do, by the way, farmers market cherries, had some yesterday, which is really good unless you bite on the left-hand side of your mouth. In my little world right now, in that case, like everything lights up. It's not good at all. But cherries normally are absolutely fantastic. Get yourself some farmer's market cherries as soon as you possibly can. If I say, who here loves cherries, by the way? Yeah, okay. I'm off my codeine, so you're fine. All right, so we're going to have a good, I'm off all the strong pain meds, I think. So anyways, so we're, if you say you love cherries, but then you hate everything that's cherry flavored, you're inconsistent. So if we say we love God, if we truly love God, we're going to love the people who are made in the image and likeness of God. They're not the fullness of God, they're the creations of God. We're the prize creations of God. But Jesus brought this up because so often in our sinful little selves, we try to look for loopholes. Well, I love God, but I don't like her. I love God, but I really want to look down on him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus would add, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment. To love God and to love people. That's the core value. That's Jesus' creed. That's what Jesus was all about. That's what he's asking us to do. What he longs for you and I and we in our lives. To love God and to love people. Now let's jump back to Deuteronomy and look at the way that Moses gave the Israelites advice for how to live that out. How do I live out that, you know, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? How do you do that? How do you live that out? Verse 6. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Say the next word with me. Talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road. And when you lie down. And when you get up. Then what else do? You say it with me. Tie. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Then what else do? Say the underlined word with me. Write. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. So this value of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Talk about it. Feel it. Think about it. Wear it. And write it. So let's talk about that a little bit. So we're looking to build a culture in the home. You know, those values of what it means to love the Lord your God, to love God with everything you've got, to love people with everything you've got. We can talk about it. We can think about it. What else? Can we put the previous slide up for a second? We can wear it. Can wear it. It's one of the reasons why we love to give away these little. I have this little wristband, or you know, this one's I've worn several out now, but. These little wristbands have started so many conversations. The love like Jesus. So many conversations. Often I'll carry two so that if I start a conversation with someone, I can just take one off and say, I brought this one for you. Because you never really know when you're going to have that conversation. I realize not all of you want to wear a wristband. But this is one among many ways that we can reinforce these core values in our life as we wear them. Like what we wear, it sends a message to the world around us of the things that matter to us. So whether it's a big deal to you that you wear, you know, fancy and expensive labels, that sends a message. Not necessarily bad, not necessarily good. Or, you know, if the thing that you're wearing is a political slogan, that tells the people around you this is something that matters greatly to you. So what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What values are you wearing? How does your clothing reinforce your own personal culture? If I had a magic wand, in terms of volunteering, I would love it if some. Maybe this is the moment for someone. If someone has experience with retail, and you think I could give about 3 hours a week to the church. I would so love to have a whole bunch of love like Jesus like clothing available for people. You know, we could sell love like Jesus like labeled hats and shirts and vests and hoodies or whatever, and then have the profits maybe go to support a local charity of some sort. But just because, you know, those values of what do we want to be about. So if that's you, talk to me. I would love to hear from you. Those values, what we wear, they help us to remind ourselves what we're all about. And they help to communicate to the people around us what we're all about. Tie them on your hands.
Wear them on your foreheads. That sounds a lot like a baseball cap. Or write them on the doorposts of your home. The decorations of your home. You can just think about that for a second. Like, how are your values reflected in the decorations of your house? For some of you, you might be thinking, yeah, I need to take a trip to Hobby Lobby. Yeah. Realize this is Father's Day. Okay, so little side note. So this week, I made a trip to Hobby Lobby. It was rare. I made a trip to Hobby Lobby, and I noticed when I got in there, there were not a lot of guys in Hobby Lobby. I saw one other guy. He was working there. He was very nice. I got my one little item, and it was a busy place because Hobby Lobby is a great business. I hope you support it. I love Hobby Lobby. The checkouts were really pretty busy. There were some long lineups, and I could see, and I was at the back of one of those lines with my one little item, and I could see one checker just having sympathy on the one dude in the store. And she's like, and they opened up another aisle for me to get me out of there just as quick as I, I love Hobby Lobby. It's Father's Day. Dads, you don't necessarily need to go to Hobby Lobby today, but it is worth thinking about. How are your values reflected in your home? You have authority together with your spouse, if you are married, of how your home is decorated. What values are you reinforcing for your children, for your grandchildren, maybe for your great-grandchildren, for the guests that come through your home? So for many, that you might have a favorite Bible verse in a piece of decoration somewhere. Or in our house, we have those little wall words, like some sayings that have just been really meaningful to us over the years. They're literally on the walls. This is what Moses is talking about. Like, not necessarily the Hobby Lobby way of doing it, but just that you have authority over your home. What values do you want to have reinforced in your home? You have authority over what you wear. What values do you want to have reinforced by what you wear? And if the point of your and my life is to love God and to love people, let that value, or the way we would put it is love like Jesus. How is that value part of the culture that you are building? So that's the big idea. You have authority to build culture. So build culture. You can't necessarily affect what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. or happen in Olympia, though I hope you'll do your part by voting wisely and well and advocating for things that are good and not things that are bad. But you have authority in your home. And dads, you especially have influence in your home. Now, you're not the sole leader of your house. If you're married, you lead as a partnership. But you, especially the dads, the fathers, the grandfathers, you do so much to set the tone of the home. Is this a place of grace? Is this a place of patience? Is this a place where people matter? Is this a place where faith is expressed? So I want to ask you, dear friends, as we look at this, and what it means to be saved to serve, and what it means to be people of service, what is your next step for building a culture of loving service in your home? What's your next step? What do you want to do? How do you want to build a culture of loving service in the environment that you have the most authority over? No one else is going to do it for you. You can ask the Lord for help, but this is yours. There's plenty of other aspects of service where we just need to lean on the Lord. You know, we pray in Jesus' name. We ask the Holy Spirit to work through us. This is one of the places where we're, that really is under your control. What is your next step for building a culture of loving service in your home. So here's what I'd like to challenge you to do. Is if something's coming to mind, you know, so maybe you take your phone out and you write yourself a note. Maybe you grab one of the connection cards in front of you. But if there's something that comes to mind, just write it down. Write it down. What is that next step? Is it something to talk about? So maybe that's a habit of some form of a family prayer, or maybe some form of a family Bible study. Is that something that you want to wear? Is that something you want to write? A way to decorate? What is your next step? What is your next step of building a culture of loving service in your home? I'll throw out a couple of ideas along with that of ways that as a local church, maybe we can come alongside and help you a little bit. So now next Sunday is a really great opportunity to build a culture of service for your family. We're doing what we call Serve Sunday. So, if you come here at 10 o'clock, we will have a very short worship service, probably about 15 minutes long. Really, really short. And then we've got a variety of some excuse me, terrific places around the valley where we can go and serve. So coming alongside nonprofits like Powerhouse and Grace House, or also even going to actually the Wenatchee Cemetery and helping to clean up some of the areas around there. Next week would be a great week to bring work gloves to church. And we've done this once before, and I'm going to be real honest with you. It was the last time we did it, it was a week that the attendance of church was probably about half what we would normally expect it to be, which is kind of too bad. Because if you're trying to build a culture of service, if you're trying to set a precedent, especially if you've got your grandkids with you, if you're a family, you've got children in the home, this is a fantastic opportunity to set the culture of the home. We are a family that serves. Now, all of these serve projects will be fairly short, so about the same amount of time that you would dedicate to attending church, you can attend church and help with a service project all at the same time. So by like 11:30, you're done. So you can still go to lunch, you can still carry on with the rest of your day. But what we're trying to do is just build that value into us as a congregation and help you as a family to build that value into your home. We are a family that serves. Serve Sunday. That's next week. Another opportunity is you could join me in a couple weeks. We're doing a 6K run with World Vision. All the information is on our website. So we're meeting at Pipus Market, 9 a.m. on July 2nd. So you could walk it, you could run it, you could hobble it, you could dance it, whatever you want to do. or you could sponsor somebody who is. And the proceeds for that go to the working with World Vision, with especially Covenant Kids Congo. As a denomination, the Covenant Church has been very deliberate about serving in Congo. So it's not just about child sponsorship, though it is. It's child sponsorship, lots of child sponsorship in concentrated places. So we're actually transforming communities together, like clean water, education, healthcare, everything. And kids are coming to Christ, and they're growing in his love, because we're working and serving together. So you could be a part of that. That'd be another possible way. Or even something like volunteering midweek. there's information out in the foyer about one of our summer nonprofit partners, Small Miracles. You know, you give an hour and a half a day. You can help to feed at-risk kids at a wide variety of sites around Chelan and Douglas County. So you could find a place that's even pretty close to home, and you could help to deliver lunches to at-risk kids. It makes a tremendous difference. But the point is there are all sorts of things that you and I and we can do to build that culture of loving service, especially in the environments that you and I and we have the most influence over. So what's your next step? Because not only do we have influence in our homes, and I hope you exercise influence there, but we also get to have influence over the culture of our life corporately as a local church. So we get to think about what it means for us to be serving together. You know, what's the Columbia Grove culture? I've been thinking about that a lot. You know, I hope that one of the things that we rally together around is that value of service. Not just, you know, volunteering within the church, though that is vitally important. But we are a church that serves our community together. We can do that together. And moving forward, as we look at like, you know, evangelism and all those kind of things, I really believe that as we are moving into a time that is where the culture around us is increasingly post-Christian, where the average person on the street is very skeptical about church or maybe feels like they've tried church and then given up on it, that the culture of the local church becomes absolutely vital. We have the ability to influence the culture of what happens in our corporate gatherings. And I really believe that if we want to win people from the world's culture, we need to offer a better culture. We can do that. That this is a place where we love like Jesus. Right here is a place where we serve together. Right here is a place where we can show grace to one another. Right here is a place where we can practice forgiveness. Right here is a place where we can speak kindly to one another. Right here is a place we can build one another up. Right here is a place where we can be here for one another, especially when we're struggling. That's why I am more passionate than ever about the local church. We can't affect that. We have minimal influence on what happens in the culture around us, but we have a lot of influence on what happens in our gathered community. So let's make it great. You have limited influence on what's happening in the culture around your home, but you have a lot of influence on the culture inside your home. So make it great. And the culture inside your inner life and your heart. Use the influence you have. In the places where you have influence, what's your next step for building culture? So I hope you'll dream with me about the local church. I hope you'll dream with me about what God wants to do in your home. I hope you'll dream with me about what God wants to do in your heart. So as we close in prayer, I want to invite us to do something. Actually, I want to invite all the men in the room to stand. I'm not going to put you on the spot for anything other than this, is that I want to have a moment where we especially pray for the men. These are the people, and so whether you're a father or not, or a grandfather or whatever, you have influence. You have influence. You set the tones of your home. Guys, I invite you to stand. All we're going to do is pray for you. We're not going to put you on the spot. But guys, I invite you to stand. Now, if you are sitting close to a guy that you especially affirm, you can put a hand on their back. Or you can kind of point a hand in their general direction. Because we want to bless the men of our congregation. We want to bless the men for the influence they have in their homes. So Lord, as we look to build culture in our homes, where we are people who love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, where we want to be people who love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, we especially want to pray for the men. Lord, we recognize that it's fathers and father figures who so often set the tone of the home. Lord, for these men, bless them, we pray, that the tone they set would be one of Christ-like love. May their homes be places of grace and kindness. May their homes be places that honor you. So, Lord, use them. And, Lord, as these men are so influential, not only in their homes, but in our corporate life together as a congregation, Lord, bless them. Use them. May their influence be one of loving service, of grace, of self-sacrifice, of integrity, of honor, of true love. Not just love as our culture defines it, but love by your definition of love. Thank you that you loved us first, that your love for us is patient and kind, that you keep no record of wrongs, that you're not easily angered, that you always trust, you always hope, that you always persevere, and that you, God, never fail us. We pray all these things in the name of the one who showed us what the love of the Father looks like. Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite the women to join the guys in standing. We're gonna join together in a song. And the reason why I picked this song is the bridge, the middle part of the song. It says this: I will build my life upon your love. It's a sure foundation. I will trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life on your love. It is a sure foundation. I will trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. See, I can't control all what's going around in the culture around me, but I know this much: as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So as we sing this song of worship, just invite, just even enter into that line: I will put my trust in you. I will build my life upon your love. It's the foundation. It's the foundation.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Please have a seat. And I invite you to take out the communion packets that you probably received as you were coming in. If you're joining us from home or from your RV or from wherever you are, see if you can find some bread, some juice if you don't have that already. And then we can participate in communion together. So often the center of the culture of a home is the family table. It's the meals that you share and the conversations that happen over those meals. It's the time
together. I'm sure Jesus knew all that. Because as he asked his disciples, those who would call themselves followers of Christ, ones who would later be known as Christians, as he called them to remember him, he had them do this over a meal. He said, get together for a meal. And when you do, do this. So on the night when Jesus was betrayed, in the midst of a meal, he took bread, he broke it. It's probably a bigger piece of bread than this. But he took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks for it, and he gave it to his disciples to eat. He said, take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me. And that's why, church, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. He is coming again. And this is how we remember him. This is one of the key ways how we remember him. How do you want to be remembered? Jesus said, remember that I gave my body for you. Remember that I shed my blood for you. So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. And then I invite you to serve one another. It's another way we can practice service. And so if you're sitting next to somebody with the communion elements, as they're eating the bread, you would say this line to them. You'd say, this is Christ's body given for you. As they're drinking from this little cup, you could say, this is Christ's blood shed for you. Now, maybe you know the person, maybe you don't. But one of the ways, one of the marks for us as the church is make sure in these next moments that nobody gets left out. So keep your eyes open. And speak these words over someone as they receive these elements. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for what you did for us. You gave your body. You shed your blood. You showed us how to live. You showed us what love looks like. Lord, help us to walk in that legacy of love, starting with each other. Help us to remember you and your sacrifice well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Serve one another in Jesus' name. Christ's body given for you. Together one more time. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Let's close our time together by saying the Lord's Prayer as a church family. I invite you to stand and let's pray these words out loud. And even if you're joining us online, invite you wherever you are, let's pray these words out loud. This is also part of setting culture. This sets these values in our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Paul.
Pastor Andrew, go ahead and have a chair for a moment. A couple quick announcements. Next Sunday is Serve Sunday. The actual church service will be about 15 to 20 minutes long. Wear your grubbies, wear your clothes. You want to go out and pull some weeds or do some weed whacking, things like that. There will be no Sunday school, and there will be no nursery next Sunday because as short as the service is. A few weeks ago, I guess it's been about a month ago, the month of May, we collected baby bottles, and people would put their change in them and dollar bills and maybe a check in them. Earlier this week, the church got a letter from Real Options that said we had donated $1,385 in baby bottle contributions. So give yourselves a hand. And the next thing to be thankful for is, after that letter came in, three more baby bottles were left by my door of my office, so we will easily hit $1,400, well into $1,400, I'm guessing. So again, thank you for everybody. In honor of Father's Day, all dads, there's a table in the foyer that was empty as you walked in the building. Now it isn't. Feel free to grab a gift or two. Take them home with you, use them in honor of fathers and a Father's Day thank you. Everybody here gets an ice cream bar today. So enjoy your ice cream bars. There's going to be some children from our children's church that are going to be handing out those ice cream bars. So tell them thank you. And again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Walt from our leadership team would like to bring you up to date on some leadership team things.
Thank Sue Kane. She served on our team for a couple of years, and she's now gone off. I don't see her in the house today, but when you see her, tell her thank you. She was a great, great asset to the team, and I loved having her on because she loved to argue, and I like that. The other thing is we now have an opening in the leadership team because Angela Hansen had to resign for family and work obligations. So if any one of you is interested, see me or any one of the team and we'll fill you in on what's required. That's about all I have. And oh, yeah, I'm also chair of the 4th of July, and we're going to do ice cream sundaes, and we need ice cream root beer float servers, and I need some outside property walkers. We need a couple of people down at the end of the driveway to hand out the programs and the bulletins, and unfortunately, we have some rules, like you can't bring your own fireworks. You can't drink your hooch on the property. And you just got to be nice to everybody else. No firearms, that kind of thing. But I need three or four teams of two to walk around and wish everybody happy 4th of July. So see me if you can help. Thank you.
Thank you, Walt. Let's close our service in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless fathers and all father figures today, Lord, as we celebrate Father's Day. Bless them with love and faithfulness to you, so that children of all ages can flourish and grow in you. Bless those who are also looking forward to being a father in the future. And Lord, a special prayer for those today where Father's Day is difficult. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks for worshiping with us, everybody, whether you're worshiping with us online or in person. Thanks for being here. God bless each one of you. As the Hillside says, love like Jesus.